Please, pray with me. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for your holy word, so that it may feed and nourish us as we live according to your word, will, and ways, leading us into your eternal and abundant life and mission. Through Jesus Christ we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now, we commend you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, God desires us, his people, to be abundantly alive in him. Yet, in many ways, our sin weighs us down and binds us, making it difficult to live the life and freedom that God wants for us. Over the past few weeks, we have been learning about what the church refers to as the roots of many, many of our sins, known as the seven deadly sins. The seven deadly sins are not merely individual sins, though individual sins will flow from them. Rather, they represent deadly attitudes, harmful distortions of God's reality, and detrimental distortions of our spirit that prevents us from living as God intends or as God desires. They lead us down perilous paths. On the other hand, God desires our flourishing, and our self-imposed imprisonment through sin hinders us from attaining what God wants for us. So far, we have explored pride, envy, and anger. While we have examined the consequences of these deadly sins, how they wreak havoc in our lives and in the lives of others, and how they separate us from God, we have not lingered there. Instead, with each deadly sin, we have discussed God's biblical, graceful virtues to help us combat and conquer each sin. This, my friends, is excellent news. God equips his people with the grace needed to overcome sin and the death that it brings. We now come to the fourth deadly sin, sloth. Sloth. What is sloth? Thomas Aquinas, after studying the Holy Bible, correctly defines sloth as sorrow in regard to spiritual good. It is indeed a sorrow concerning spiritual good, which causes a sense of depression. I can't fingers summon any energy for biblical and spiritual pursuits. Sloth represents the sluggishness toward godly and spiritual matters. I struggle to find any energy, interests, or enthusiasm for the things of the Spirit of God and for the work of his kingdom and church. That is why you can see that sloth can perfectly coexist with frenzied energy regarding secular matters. You can be bursting with energy and highly active in your business, family life, athletic or school activities, hobbies, and entertainment, yet still suffer from sloth, which embodies boredom, depression, and the lack of engagement with God's spiritual life and the growth of God's kingdom and church. If you experience pride, envy, or anger, and we all do in some form, you may find yourself racing towards your sin, collapsing under its weight, and perhaps returning to God afterwards. However, with sloth, I feel merely bored, indifferent, lazy, and unwilling. I couldn't care less, and I tend to remain inactive, not getting involved or utilizing my God-given gifts, talents, or resources. Where is this deadly sin of sloth coming from, my friends? Relativism. Relativism is an intellectual issue where the truth varies from culture to culture and person to person. What may be true for you might not be true for me. Those may be your biblical values, but don't impose them on me. That's relativism. And friends, there is truth that can be known. To deny that makes us like Pilate and mocks the words of Jesus when he mockingly asked Jesus, "What is truth?" The truth will always be found in Jesus. And through a faithful, historical, and traditional understanding of his holy word. Now, once again, this is not just an intellectual issue. It is also a spiritual problem. Because if that's the way it goes, there's your truth, and then there's my truth. That may be good for you, but not for me. What does all that lead to? Indifference. Indifference. Imagine with me a fast-flowing river with clear banks and distinct boundaries. Picture the river moving purposefully, directed by the sturdy banks that's providing energy. Now imagine tearing down those banks and those boundaries. Who really needs them? Why would we want to limit this river? So let it flow freely. So tear down the banks and dismantle the boundaries. What happens then? The river will then empty out into a vast, lazy lake. It doesn't truly go anywhere. Relativism claims that there are no firm boundaries in life and no absolute moral, intellectual, or spiritual truths. I get to determine what is true for me, what is good for me, and what is evil. Remove the boundaries, and my spiritual energy disappears into a vast, lazy lake with no specific direction. Here's another image. Imagine a group of kids, maybe a group of cadet students, playing football at the edge of a ledge that drops off into an abyss. But built on the ledge, before the abyss, the cadets are surrounded by tall, thick walls that protect them. How would the cadet kids play? How would you play? Yeah, crazy. You would play with reckless abandonment. They'll run, jump, throw, and enthusiastically engage in the game. Why? Because the cadets will know that the walls protect them from the abyss. Then, along comes a revolutionary, a revisionist, who says, "Tear down these walls! Who wants to limit the freedom of these kids?" So, what happens to the cadets when they tear down the walls that were protecting them? They'll fall. Now the cadets sit there, afraid to run, throw, or move because the walls have been knocked down. And some of the cadets may even just leave. Sloth can result from tearing down the truth. Biblical, moral, intellectual, traditional, and spiritual truth. And it leaves us afraid and unable to move. God gives us boundaries and barriers to protect and to motivate ourselves and others. God gives us boundaries not to confine us, but as a gift, to enable us to move with purpose and freedom. It is sad, scary, and depressing when people try to tear down these boundaries, when they try to dismantle the truth, God's biblical and moral truths. What is the response, the antidote, the virtue that is a gift from God to combat sloth? It is zeal for God's mission to build his kingdom, to seek and save the lost, and encourage each other to live in godly holiness and justice. God's holy word tells us, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in the Spirit, serve the Lord." Romans 12:11. In the Holy Scriptures, no one is ever given an experience of God without being sent. Adam and Eve were created by God and told to fill the earth and subdue it and care for God's garden. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord and was commanded to build the ark. God spoke to Abram and sent him to the land that God would give him and his family to be a blessing to the nations. Moses saw the burning bush, and he heard the voice of God and was sent to liberate God's people. David was made king to rule over the people in good ways. The Lord came and spoke to the prophets such as Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Malachi, and others, and sent them to share and proclaim the heart of God to the people. Jesus came to Peter and made him a fisher of people. Saul was knocked to the ground and was sent to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus tells the apostles, and us as well, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Nobody in the Holy Scriptures is ever given a sense of God without a zealous mission. God sent them, and God now sends us, you and me, and even the GEMS, cadets, and kingdom kids, into his mission. So, what should we slothful people do? Work hard at discerning the mission that God gives to his people, to you. When you pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. Where do you want me to go? Be prepared to receive an answer. The Lord will answer you, but most likely it will be through secondary causes. It is rare for people to encounter a burning bush or to be struck down by Jesus. Friends, read the Holy Scriptures while seeking God's will and mission and purpose for your lives. Don't just read the Holy Scriptures vaguely, but with these urgent questions in mind. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, what am I to believe? Here are other excellent ways to discern God's will for your life. Center your life on the aspects that God has given us that most fully reveal himself, particularly his holy word and his true and faithful Christian worship services. As you do this, persistently and relentlessly ask those questions. Listen to the people of God who have humbly submitted themselves to the Lord, as they can be a help and a guide to you to awaken your zeal for your personal mission. Remember, you are not alone in wrestling with finding God's mission for your life. Many saints have lacked an understanding of what their mission should be. How can you focus this, my friends, even more? By being involved in the work of God's kingdom and God's spiritual works of mercy. Everything a baptized Christian does daily should contribute to building up the kingdom of God and his works of mercy while proclaiming God's holy word. Here are some biblical and godly ways to achieve this. Provide food and drink to the hungry and thirsty. Offer shelter to the homeless. Visit those imprisoned. Care for the sick. Clothe the naked. and share the word of God's covenantal love, grace, forgiveness, and truth as you serve the way, Lord, in such ways. When you seek your mission, regularly practice these actions, and you will likely discover God's mission for you and your family, God's purpose for you and your family. For those who are hungry, my friends, or are facing difficult times, consider making a dinner for them. Volunteer at a homeless shelter to discover the profound impact it has on your spiritual well-being. Visit the imprisoned is also essential. I admire Johnny Cash, who is not only a talented singer, but also a man of great character in many respects. One of the things that he did was he sang in prisons. When asked why he performed there, he first noted that, well, they're a great audience. But more importantly, he said, because I'm a Christian. That right there is a powerful response. Jesus instructed us to go and visit the imprisoned, and Johnny Cash did because he was a Christian, and so can you. As for caring for the sick, you likely know someone unwell in your family, school, work, place, or neighborhood. Perhaps someone in a nursing home or a hospital. Go and visit with them, pray for them, and assist them with their needs. Help them. Notice what happens to you and your family spiritually when you engage in these godly acts that God calls all of his people to. Friends, pray for everyone that you encounter, for their lives and for their salvation. Instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, gracefully admonish sinners, patiently endure the troublesome, comfort the afflicted, and forgive offenses. All of this and so much more is the mission of God's church and kingdom. It is God's mission for you and for me. God has called his faithful to be part of all these works of grace and mercy. While all of these are challenging, you may find that one or more of them is what God is calling you to do for his kingdom, his mission, and the building up of God's church. Often, it takes our involvement in these works to discern what God is calling us to. People frequently say something like, well, this is not my spiritual gift. Really? How do you know? Have you tried it out? Many individuals throughout Christian history has been surprised by what God calls them to and empowered them for. They did not think that they were gifted in certain ways or talented enough for a specific task. Yet God still worked powerfully through him by his Spirit in such ways. Therefore, put these works of grace and mercy into action in your lives and in your family and give them a try. I truly believe that they will help you discover God's mission and purpose and will for your life. God will reveal what you are meant to do. Be consistent in practicing these things of mercy, and you will find zeal for God's mission. Do you know what the slothful are made to do in Dante's imaginary mountain, found in his great poem, The Divine Comedy, Inferno? You guys will know. They run. And as they run, they repeatedly hear this quote from Holy Scripture in Luke's Gospel. She proceeded in haste. Luke 1:39. She proceeded in haste. Remember, it is announced to Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus, the second person of God, the Holy Trinity, God in the flesh. After this, Mary embraces her mission. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Luke 1:38. Then up she goes. She proceeded in haste into the hill country to visit Elizabeth. Mary knew what to do, and she did it. That is zeal for the mission that comes from doing God's will according to his holy word and ways. May we too, all of us, partake in and freely give the graces and mercy of God. Find the mission given to us by God. Get involved and proceed in haste and zeal to build God's kingdom and his church here on earth while serving. You and I are meant to have great zeal, great empowerment, great guidance from God to stop being lazy and instead build God's kingdom here, right here in Pella, Iowa, and the greater area. May it be so for each and every one of us and our families. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, move us to step out of our seats, our homes, our comfort zones, our boxes, our personal beliefs, our boundaries, and into your movement, your truth, your passion, your ways, your word, your mission, and your zeal. May many others come to know you through our work and the words that you have given us. To you be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.